Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God our Father, and from our crucified and risen Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. It's a new year. A new year helps us to assess our lives, to refocus, to set goals and make new plans. In today's world, we often hear about New Year's resolutions. One such plan or resolution of my own is to spend more time in prayer. Now, I'm certain some of you here have made resolutions, and I'm certain that some of you here have not. But whether or not you use the new year as an excuse to help you make future plans for yourself, the truth is that we all have plans and things that we want to accomplish in life. And so maybe you have a plan for your family, or a plan for your finances, or a plan for your health, or your social life, or your career, or your retirement, or your spiritual life. We all have plans that we want to do. And the writer of our epistle text for this morning had plans too. His name was Paul. His plan was to persecute the church. And he had a very specific reason for doing that. It's because the Jewish leadership didn't like Christianity, and Paul was a devout Jew. And so they all saw Christianity as this threat, a threat to the way of life that they knew it, a threat to this Jewish religion. And so, of course, Paul wants to help. He wants to help the Jewish faith. And so he plans to go to a town called Damascus. And in Damascus, he's going to arrest the Christians, to persecute the Christians. The problem for Paul is that God has other plans. Paul's plan has to change. If God's plan and Paul's plan don't align perfectly, well, one has to give way, and you can be certain it's not going to be God's plan. And so, as Paul is traveling to Damascus, he sees a vision of Jesus Christ. And immediately in that moment, he is struck with physical blindness. Not part of the plan. But ultimately what happens is Paul gets converted to Christianity, and then God appoints him to be the apostle to the Gentiles, to bring this message of Jesus Christ into the nations that are not Israel. And so it's important for you to remember that for Paul, his plan wasn't to become a Christian. His plan wasn't to write most of the New Testament by the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. His plan wasn't to be a part of God's church. His plan wasn't to be converted. And even as we know some things about Paul's life, his plan wasn't to be shipwrecked, beaten with rods, stoned, imprisoned. Those aren't things that Paul had planned, certainly not before this Damascus road. But even Paul recognizes that God's plan in his life was far more blessed than the plan that he designed for himself. God's plan for Paul was that he would bring to light for everyone what is the plan of the mystery hidden for ages in God who created all things, so that through the church, manifold wisdom of God might now be made known, according to the eternal purpose that he has realized in Christ Jesus, our Lord. At times, God's plan was unpleasant, to say the very least. At least by the standards of the world, right? But Paul was still instrumental in being a part of revealing Jesus to the nations of the world. And that means you. Has anybody ever read through the New Testament before? Paul wrote most of it. Without God changing Paul's plan, most of the things that we know from the New Testament would just be entirely gone. And the truth is that we always know our own plans. I'm certain you know what your plan is for the new year. I'm certain what you know what your plan is for later today, maybe even. But the truth is that even though we know our plans so certainly, our plans are always subject to change. And as Scripture tells us, God's plan is not. It's never subject to change. It's always the same, and it always will be. The problem for us is that sometimes we don't know the whole plan. God still leaves some things shrouded in mystery as far as what his plan is for your life. And so in the midst of a world where our plans will change, and when we fail our New Year's resolutions maybe, and when the hardships of life come bearing down on us, whether it's the end of a long day or in the midst of a financial strain or when you lose your job or when you're feeling all alone or when your health begins to fail or when an important relationship seemingly is slipping away, no matter what it is, take comfort in knowing that even though your plan is changing, even though your goals or your life is changing, God never changes for you. His plan for you is always the same. And again, the specifics to us are a mystery. But there are certain things that God does reveal to us about his plan that we can be absolutely 100% certain of. He told us what that part of the plan was. And it started long ago in a garden that was called Eden. God made Adam and Eve, the very first people. He created them to live in perfection. And even as he created them to live in perfection, he knew that Adam and Eve would pervert it, that they would fall into sin, that they would fail at living a perfect life. And so they reach out and they eat this fruit from the tree that God put there. And sin has been a reality ever since. But God knew what the next step of the plan was. The next step of the plan was to go to Adam and Eve, and especially the woman, and tell her, have children. Because in having children, you will be saved. One of your offspring will rise out of this sin, and he will destroy your enemy, Satan, forever. He will destroy sin forever. And as the Old Testament continues after that promise, we see how God's plan works. The ups, right? When Israel is living in prosperity, when things are going well, when they see God for who he really is. And then the downs. When they forget the Lord their God, when they are oppressed by evil nations, when all sorts of awful things are happening to the nation of Israel. And who is there guiding them through the plan all along? God is. He's there for them. He's making sure that everything happens according to his purpose. And his purpose was that at the right time, as God guided his people through history, at the right time, Mary and Joseph would walk to a town called Bethlehem. And a baby would be born by the name of Jesus. That was all part of the plan. Even before God spoke the very first word of creation, this was part of the plan. And the plan was for this little baby to be the king of the world. A king that the world has never seen before. A king who doesn't look like a king. A king who would live a perfect life. That way he might lay it down on a cross. Because the plan for Jesus, even from the moment he was born, was that he might shed his blood and die for you. The plan is for him to take on the sins of Adam and Eve, the sins of the people of Israel, all throughout history, even until the present day, to take all of those sins onto himself and to shed his blood for those sins, to die for those sins. And in doing so, he satisfies God's wrath. He satisfies the punishment that should have been part of the plan, but that God removed from us for the sake of his Son. To say it was unpleasant is to say the very least. Because it came at great cost for God to pour out his wrath against his Son. But it was all according to plan. Because in the end, the plan is you. You are a part of God's plan. Jesus is your Savior. God has given him to you. And he brings you the perfect plan of salvation. He brings it into your ears. And he has promised you that he will usher you into an Eden restored. The perfection that God had for us, the perfection that he wanted for us, that he intended for us, that we rejected, it's coming back. It's part of the plan. God told us. And in fact, the first step to make it into this plan is to hear the words, "You are forgiven." Jesus' satisfaction for sin was a satisfaction for you. What else is part of God's plan for you? You're baptized. The water has been poured on your head. You have received the Holy Spirit that comes to make you holy and has promised you that heaven has been opened for you forever. It's part of the plan. The plan is for you to have this faith and then to receive strengthening for that as you continue to hear the word of the Lord, as you continue to eat the body and blood of Jesus Christ in the sacrament. You are part of the plan. God doesn't leave you out. Even in the midst of your worst days, you are still part of the plan. Even in the midst of the most horrible hardship of your life, you are still a part of the plan. Salvation is still yours. Eternity in heaven is a reality. This is God's eternal purpose that he has realized in Christ Jesus our Lord, in whom we have boldness and access with confidence through our faith in him. My friends, I don't know what your plans are, and maybe some of you, but I don't know what you have in store for 2019. But I promise you they're subject to change. And I promise you whatever plan you have will not work out the way you intended to. But when that happens, it makes way for the blessings that God has in store. And so not if, but when it happens, when God changes your plan, and when you're led to maybe somewhere that is unpleasant and undesirable and unexpected, always remember that God's plan of salvation will never change. Jesus will be your Savior in any and every circumstance. His death and resurrection, they are a gift for you. And so even if your plan has to change, God's forgiveness for you, revealed in Jesus' life, death, and resurrection, never will. And for that, we stick to the plan. In Jesus' name, amen. Now may the peace of God, which far surpasses all understanding, keep your hearts and your minds and your plans in Christ Jesus our Lord.